Hello and welcome to Season 3 of the Push Podcast. My name is Jack Ferguson, an experienced marketing and sales consultant with a science background, and I'm your host. This season of the podcast is essential listening for small and medium-sized companies looking for their next stage of growth. Myself and other experts will explore common problems in marketing, product, and sales. We will deconstruct them and then detail straightforward, evidence-based remedies for you. I aim to give you both inspiration and practical solutions to push through similar challenges in your own company. Thanks for being here, and don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Push Podcast. This episode is all about product positioning and product marketing, in particular for early stage startups and smaller companies. We're going to look at key considerations to help you get more bang for your buck in these product areas. Who should listen to this episode? Founders of startups, employees of startups, marketing professionals, sales professionals, and business owners. This episode is perfect for you. Why? You're going to better understand the key things you need to know to get your product messaging right, which is going to increase revenue and delight customers. This concept is explored through a scenario. An AI consulting startup writer who have four employees and a CEO, Jordan Lee. Employees are a salesperson, marketer, AI expert who is also the product manager and a developer. Currently, they have 10 free users on the platform and no paid customers. In this scenario, writer's marketer, Bailey, wants to get in a product positioning consultant as the market doesn't understand what they do. CEO Jordan is skeptical. So what should he do? Some of the specifics that this episode will cover include what product marketing and product positioning are. How to use the five whys to nail your message, what marketers can learn from salespeople around product messaging, many examples of strong and weak product positioning, and the fastest way to know whether your product messaging is effective. To talk this through, I'm joined again by growth and product marketing specialist Alex Urquhart. If you'd like to find myself or Alex online, you can find the links to our social media pages and websites in this episode's description, whatever platform you're listening on. Let's bring in Alex. Hello, Alex. We're back again. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks, mate. Glad to be back. Episode 6 we're on to now.
Episode 6. Yes, it's been quite fun. Mm-hmm. So, how long ago did we start this? A while ago now.
Yeah.
We canned the first two episodes. So, it's kind of episode 8, actually, right? We threw the first two in the bin.
We pivoted. Yeah.
We weren't going to assault your ears with how it first came out. Yeah. So, Episode 6, kind of episode 8, but awesome. Episode 6.
Awesome.
And we're talking about product positioning in this episode, or product marketing, or both, or how are they defined? We're about to find out. Marketing. So in this team, in this company, writer marketing, the marketer wants to hire a product positioning consultant as people, according to him, don't seem to get what they do. And Jordan, the CEO, is resistant to this and says that the value prop is clear. We improve outcomes by 10x and streamline consultancies. And that's perfect as it is. Don't need to change anything. Why do we need this product positioning consultant? What's your thoughts?
Good question. I know I was reading that before, but that statement that Jordan says always triggers me every time I see that one. So I think...
And that statement being improving outcomes by 10x and streamlining consultancies is fine.
I hate it so much. And there's like how common that is still blows my mind.
Why do you hate it?
Where to start? One, it means nothing. I always try to say like it's if you think about those restaurants, I don't know if you go to those rural towns in Australia or even just local pubs, and they're probably great pub, good people, but like their advertising's like good food, cold beer. And it's like, well, I hope so.
Mm.
Like it's the it's the expectation. Like absolutely. So having like we can 10x your efficiency, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What efficiency to who, to how much? Like are we taking a 10-second task and making it 1 second? What do you mean by that? And it's like it adds no context. And I think from a marketing perspective, which is essentially influencing people's emotions, how they feel and their behavior, it doesn't really give me anything, you know? And there's an example, I'll answer your other question next on product marketing and product positioning, but there's an example that I always use, and it's, I use it a combination of a couple of different areas, so I'm not going to take full credit for it, but they talked about messaging needs to ring home to the buyer and needs to trigger something in them. And they said Airbnb, you could say like, it's a peer-to-peer, you know, circular economy rental system that provides opportunities for, you know, unused assets. And you're like, well, they're not wrong, but that means nothing. That's awful. And then you have another one that's like, I think the statement was, rent your spare room for $150 a night.
Yeah.
And like, that's just so clear. And it's like triggering. You're like, oh, damn. Like if I, you know, my parents have a house, all the kids obviously grown up, moved out. So they've got a heap of spare rooms. I told them about this and they flirted with the idea, but it was still got their attention. They're like, oh, that's a good idea. Like particularly around the busy periods, they live on the Sunshine Coast. So I was like, you rent the house out and just make some money and sort of go on holidays for a bit. So that opportunity makes sense. And you, when you hear that, it almost triggers you to go, oh, that's really cool. I want to know more. That's a very broad B2C statement. And it's, you know, do you want money for things you're not using?
Yes.
But when it comes to B2B, you need to be more specific in terms of the role and the job and the sort of things like that. So to answer your question, I think product marketing, simplest way to put it, marketing a product. You can have event marketing, so if you are doing events. But I think for the sake of this case, for Jordan and for Writer, product marketing is taking your product to market and finding the best ways in terms of the channels, the positioning. Could say pricing. I know some people do put that in there, but I think for this case, I would say the pricing probably has to come down to a bit of sales and a bit of Jordan to obviously sign off on that. Competitor analysis. But I think product marketing is, here's this thing but that we want to sell that we think will help people, and you need to understand what it is, what value it gives to people, what do people care about it, what do they don't care about it, and where does it fit in the ecosystem? Like, mm-hmm. are you going to go to market and go, we're a CRM that's really good for startups, and it's like you end up sounding exactly like HubSpot, and it's like, well, you're going to get beaten every time. Mm-hmm. You're the same thing. So you need to differentiate yourself, put yourself in the right position at the right price to the right people, to the right person at the right time, and sort of product marketing fits into all that. Again, means different things, but I see that in the product marketing then can, from the back of that, create things like content or create mm-hmm. things like landing pages. And they should know the person, know the market, know the things they love and don't love, and being able to influence them to do things. So in this case, having the product, having the marketing person in the team with the salesperson, I would hope this, the marketing person goes broad and wide. I've used this analogy in the past, but it's like they're the archers, you know, they do the one to many, whereas the sales are the foot soldiers on the ground doing one to one. And it's like working together to create content or sales tools and help them sort of bounce off each other. So I think product marketing, it's all the marketing that surrounds the product, anything that can help the positioning of it or the really trying to get traction with the buyer in the market and really getting into a granular sense of what are their behaviors. The product market should know every bit of behavior about the buyer. The product positioning is a segment, in my mind, is a segment of that. So you've got that example I was saying before with Airbnb, you know, and it's like there's a sort of product positioning in terms of where do you sit in the market. So on that sense, then I'll keep using that same analogy around Airbnb. And you could say originally Airbnb was the cheaper option. It's gotten pretty expensive now. But it's like, I looked at it the other day. I was like, what happened to this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, where you start's not always where you end up.
Yeah, right, right. Same as Uber too, right? Anyway.
Yeah, true, yep.
Yeah, and I remember there was like, you know, cheap. Instead of saying at the, you know, the Novotel or the Ritz down the road, it's like, hey, if you're comfortable sitting in someone's house, you can get a spare room for $50 a night. And if you're not bothered by that, cheaper options. So I guess on the scale and like the positioning, it's like, hey, cheaper option, but also less, I wouldn't say, well, maybe less value, less sort of options. Whereas the positioning for, say, so you got Airbnb, so maybe competitor would be Booking.com or TripAdvisor. Booking.com probably more expensive, but you got more data, it's more hotels, you got better deals, you've got mm-hmm. you know, all these sorts of things. So the positioning is where you fit in the market. Yep. And then the product messaging is clarifying that. Because then if you just said, oh, we're an online place to rent rooms from, you could sound exactly the same as Booking.com, where yeah. it's like, you know, hey.
Oh, that's a hotel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right, yeah. It's like, well, what the hell's the difference, yeah. right? But if it's like, stay in your neighbor's spare room, it's like, oh, that's a bit weird. Mm. So there's like, it is definitely the product messaging is a dark art. And I don't think there's any right. I'm always obsessed with looking at like the science, like I know you and I are really into the science of marketing. I don't think there is an exact science to it. I think it is more art than science, the whole sort of messaging, but like trialing empathy and knowing the customer right and going, what can I say? I've heard one thing that says, use what the customers say. So what your customers mm-hmm. talk about your product, mm-hmm. use their exact words mm-hmm. because you may position it in a way that's clear for you,
yeah.
but you want to say it in a way that the customer gets it like straight away. And even if it's colloquial language or whatever that is. Yeah, so the difference in what the product marketing is, the product messaging, and I think the idea of this marketing person wanting to hire a product positioning expert or product message expert, I would say like, might be too early. I would like to sit with Jordan and with this marketer to understand why they want to do this. But I would say having a third party who's good at positioning and actually gets how to market is always a good thing. Even hopefully it's a friend or, you know, online mentors or something along those lines. I've got a network of friends that we sort of shoot ideas sort of off each other, and I get told things that I've not considered because I'm too close to the problem or I'm so deep in the weeds. They go, you're actually going like really far in the wrong direction. And you're like, oh shit, I am. Okay. So I think having a third party, whether you pay a professional for that or just having a friend or find a mentor who can give you a hand. But I think the positioning, I'd want to, same as everything, a business case, and be like, why specifically? Explain what you want. What does perfect look like? And I think for this case, you've got the positioning is in terms of anything that touches the market. What's your message telling these people? You know, I was a client a while ago that was with construction software, and it was like all-in-one safety solution, you know, which to some people might have made sense. I hate the phrase all-in-one. I think that's a faux pas for that stuff because it just, again, it means nothing without context. But if you do all-in-one safety, and then they realize they met with everyone, and a lot of the people were saying most of safety on construction sites is paper-based platforms, is paper-based systems. You can use it to digitalize most things, but that you just can't seem to get away from. So it says, so they changed it to like finally replacing paper with digital or something like that. And it was like finally replacing paper forms with your phone. And that ring true more. Mm-hmm. Some people could argue, be like, well, that's every software platform, right? Mm-hmm. Every software platform is digitalizing a process. But that seemed to ring true. And as they went to the market, changed the website, changed the social media, changed like some of the free trial messaging, and that was able to faster communicate. So I would say at that stage there, usually the market in the early stage is the generalist. They're probably a bit of everything because they probably are doing everything. If I was Jordan, I would push back a bit and say, tell me specifically what you want to do. I'm not just going to throw money at this thing for the sake of it. Can we work together? Like if you want to try a couple of things, let's experiment. Let's try and solve this on our own. And if you do have someone, let's have a first meeting with them. And this product positioning person, if they say, oh yeah, we'll change your website to get 20% more conversions in a week, just hang up on them. Like that's bad sales. I would be more of like, if someone says, hey, listen, I don't know what's perfect is. I've got an idea. I'll give you a couple of iterations we can try. Yeah. I want to meet with some of your customers. If they're not willing to meet with your customers or even have an in-depth look at it, maybe pull back. But I think it's just basically, I need someone else to fact check us and do some empathy to go, is our positioning right? Mm-hmm. Are we talking to the right people? Because in a way, that product marketing point is in that positioning. Everything else sort of feeds back from that. Because if you are, say, yeah, hey, we're the best on-site safety app in the world, and that's your positioning statement, or like, you know, going from digital to paper, then everything feeds back from that. The way you sell it, your marketing comes back from that, the way you run, all the way back to the product. Because I guess if you're saying our product solves this single problem, then the developers and the product team should be targeting that problem and say, well, what else do we need to change? How do we optimize our product that it solves this problem? So it is a critical point. If you're chasing the wrong problem to solve and you're framing the wrong problem, then everything else, everyone behind you, the snake's going to keep going the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think it's either like you're rightly positioned or you're not rightly positioned. I think it's like same as a product market fit, right? It's a nothing statement. It's a never-ending piece because I think you can have a better version of it, but it's never finished.
Yep.
And I think you got to keep trying because the market will change, your product will change, the priorities will change. And so I think you've always got to make sure that whatever you can do for the customer, you're leading with the clearest, simplest, fastest way to explain what you do and why it's important.
Yep. I think while you were talking there, I had this idea come to me that Bailey, the marketer, might actually be wanting this because Jordan, the CEO, isn't listening to him. So you're saying that the CEO should go, well, yeah, let's try this, this, and this. Then one of the reasons why they might want this person is because they're not
Jordan's not
listening. Yeah. And that's how consultants can get used at times. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, Alex. But yeah, sometimes they want political some people porn. Want you to come in and agree with them. And
I personally have had people do that to me, but my take is I'll hear what you have to say, but I'm not just going to agree with you because you're paying the bills. I'm going to tell you what the right statement is. I want to finish with the last point. So Jordan's statement around, which I'll call like a high-level benefit, what you sort of find mostly anything, but definitely B2B software, is it's either going to reduce risk, reduce costs, or increase efficiency. Every single platform will do those things. So it's telling people that you'll reduce risk and save time is irrelevant because that's every platform under the sun.
Yep.
So you need to take a high-level benefit and sort of break that down. So what I try to say is that you go almost like the five whys, which product people are quite good at, and you go, all right, we can reduce risk. How? Mm-hmm. How and why? Oh, because, you know, we help speed up the time for finance managers to reconcile at the end of the month. Okay, how do you do that? Oh, well, we automate the collection of receipts and then we use AI to read the right the pricing. Cool. So how do we do that? Oh, we do that by uploading each individual. So then that tells a story and going, all right, by the staff who give receipts, it automatically gets collected and consolidated and summarized. So the end of month reporting is done in 2 minutes as opposed to 2 days. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's a value prop.
Yep.
And that makes sense. It's very clear. It's who the person is, what the value proposition is, and goes from low level to high level. So it gives the context on the ground. Too much ground context, which like salespeople are bad at this. They'll talk about features and they'll talk about, oh, we have AI. And again, means nothing.
Yeah.
Like, talk about what you do and then how that leads to the outcomes that they need, because too high up or too low doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Executives, because they are at a high level and they're focused on the big picture, they do tend to gravitate towards, we help reduce risk and save costs. Yep. And it's like, well, I get that because you're up the top there and you're looking at the big picture as opposed to you don't really care about features and, you know, capabilities. So,
And the only thing I'd say to that, because you mentioned an example before about a company where you talked about moving paper-based to your phone. Mm. If that's how they talk in the market and they go, we're sick of using paper, we're sick of using paper, in that case, that might be a good message. Mm. You know, it seems basic, but because that's how they speak amongst themselves, to them, it means something. Mm. Whereas if you said that to us about software, we'd say, okay, that's software. Obvious. That's okay, cool. Mm. So I'm also hearing that you're saying that the value prop or the position of we improve outcomes by 10x and streamlining consultancies is a poor position communicated poorly.
Yes. I would even say that's probably not even like positioning really. Like positioning would be, you know, we help large complex consultants, professional consultancy firms, you know, do X, Y, Z. Like it's sort of, again, I'm probably going to get dragged over the coal of some of these things because it is very subjective, but I'd say positioning is who you're after in what part of the market. Like we help small, locally owned accounting firms improve end of month payroll for their clients, but like that's what tells that whole story there. So this is the thing, right? Because it's so argumentative, because at the end of the day, you could argue and say, well, that's what customers want. Like they want 10 times the efficiency. Mm-hmm. They want 10 times the cost of saving. And, you know, so particularly there's the B2B or if you go into B2E. So B2B being business to business. I use B2E because I think there's a range in B2B. So you can have business to business is, you know, myself as like a single person in a consultancy. I'm technically a business, but I'm one person who's purchasing. Whereas you can have a B2B as a the size of BHP or Telstra as a huge company. Mm-hmm. So I call that B2E because B2E to me is you're selling to multiple people, whereas B2B is still sort of one or two people.
Mm, okay. So, and most businesses in Australia, the overwhelming percentage are just single person businesses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Heaps of sort of sole traders there. So, and I think with the B2B is, with the B2E, like when you're selling to someone, so when you sort of start, you're going to have you're going to be trying to position and you're going to be trying to use the messaging to find the champion because you're going to have to find the person who wants it the most. And typically it's usually the user or the administrator that goes, oh, that's so valuable. But then that person is typically not the one with the budget or the sign-off. So they're going to have to try to go up. So that's when you have those different orders of value. So what you say to that person, their positioning, and this is where a good product marketer should come into play, positioning the right process and user experience and messaging to get that champion on board and get them across it, hopefully give them a demo, get to know what they need. And then when you go up, individually using that person to go, hey, what does your boss need to see? Or what does your company need to see for this to be successful? But then you can make some assumptions and go, I'm guessing the boss doesn't give a rat's about like, you can upload a CSV, like they don't care. Mm-hmm. Or like, hey, you can upload receipts here. They care about that high level benefit of like, hey, each month, if the finance person says, hey, I can now turn a 2-day process that takes me and potentially one other person down to a 2-minute click of the fingers just by myself. If I'm the leader, the CIO, the CEO, I'm going to go, well, that's a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to save me maybe $1,000 to $2,000 worth of like overhead cost, and if it's only costs me $100 a month, there's an ROI there. So like that's great. That's the sort of high level technical value prop positioning I need for that executive. But then without having, well, what does it actually do, and to bringing that champion on board, it doesn't really sort of matter. So you can still keep that to an extent. Maybe Jordan has this perception because he probably only talks to the high level people, and these high level people only talk about, oh, you've got to have platforms that improve the bottom line, right? You know, that's all that matters. Get the bottom line better and reduce costs and efficiencies. And so that's probably he's programmed himself to talk like that or to think like that. But that's an assumption. And I would test that. And I would ask the people who are championing it into the business and the buyers, what do they want to hear? And if you say to them, hey, we can improve efficiency by 10x, I don't think that statement ever makes sense. Like, what do you mean by efficiency of what? Mm. Like I said, making a 3-second task take 0.3 seconds. Mm. Technically, that's right, but I don't really care. Yeah.
Yes. Prepare to sell zero product with that statement, I think.
Correct. Bad landing page.
Yeah, cool. All right. So anything you want to close off with about product positioning?
No, I think same as everything in a startup, just get as much feedback as you can. Please don't be afraid to hear bad feedback. And if anything, encourage it. Like, people are sometimes too nice. Like, customers will look, oh, things are good and everything's nice. But like, I try to ask challenging questions around what would make you want to leave, or what do our competitors do better that you wish we did, or something along those lines, and really sort of pull it out. Or if people choose another product over yours, being very polite and amicable, but finding out why, going, cool, what did we miss? And if it's 9 out of 10 of pricing, then maybe the pricing's off. Or maybe if you do have a higher price point because you say, oh, well, we provide more, then you're clearly not communicating that. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't see it. They're only seeing apples for apples. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think don't be afraid to do it. Just test. There's no secret formula. Even a good product positioning person can come in and help, particularly if the team isn't well-versed in that area. But don't be afraid to just empathize and talk to people and try and iterate different sort of topics with the organization. And yeah, Jordan's just same as everyone. I think everyone sort of takes ownership in the startup, which is a good thing. Everyone gets very passionate about what they do. But the backfire point to that is people can get confirmation bias and they go, well, what I think's right. And the sales guy doesn't know what he's talking about, and the product guy doesn't know what he's talking about. So don't be afraid to talk about it and just listen to the customers and try different phrasing. But I think you'll see it. And the best way to know, the fastest way to know, either go to a conference and talk to people and pitch it. Just say whatever your sentence is that you're trying to do the messaging on, or in the demos with the salespeople. The salespeople have by far probably the best messaging usually, because they do it every day. Mm-hmm. They're trying to say the right things to make the person go, oh, well, yeah, this is definitely worth my time. So learn from them. If you're a marketer, I know there's marketers out there that hate talking to customers and even don't like salespeople even more. But if you can, talk to them and pick their brains about what they usually pitch. Like, ask them to say, what's your way of phrasing this? Because, yeah, I think we were saying a little bit earlier today, if you everything else is downstream of positioning, because if you have a fantastic product and it's super valuable, it's great. If someone lands on your social media or your website or your free trial and the 3 to 5 seconds confuses them, they won't go any further. Mm-hmm. And you could have had the best customer in the world, but if they don't get what the hell it is, they'll just leave. Mm-hmm. So it's like a fantastic movie with a bad trailer. Mm-hmm. Could be the best movie in the world. If they're not sold on the trailer, they're not going to watch the film. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Awesome. It reminds me of the iPod, 1,000 songs in your pocket. Mm. I just was thinking of that then. That's as it. We're talking through that. But let's talk budgets now then. Mm-hmm. So Jordan wants to know how to build a budget. His mentors are saying that, and his board as well actually, are saying that he needs to build out a marketing budget and plan for the next financial year. How should he go about that?
Good question. Must happen, but a very complex topic. So let's leave that for the next episode.
Okay. We'll talk about creating a budget for Writer on the next Writer episode, episode 8.
It's the one.
Tune in for that one. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Push Podcast. Please remember to subscribe, and if you are enjoying the episodes, please leave a review of the podcast on your platform of choice. It really helps to build the podcast credibility and to help others find this type of information.